But right now, we are joined by a woman sitting across from me who's had a heart attack. And I was surprised as to how that came on because I haven't heard of anything like that before. She's going to be sharing her story. That's Nadia Lapa. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And we also have a woman here who suffered a heart attack at the age of 55, looking healthy and wearing red today. We have Deborah St. Jean. Welcome to the goods, my dear.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we also have with us, she's a cardiologist and she's the chair of the Canadian Women's Heart Health Center, Dr. Thais Cochino. Welcome to the goods.
Thank you for having me, Dahlia.
Well, thank you. You know, I thought because I've had these conversations before during, you know, February, we're talking about heart health. We're talking about women's health a lot, too, because people don't always see those sorts of heart signs. But I never heard a story like when Nadia came in and off air told me what happened to her. What are some of these things that people don't understand about women's heart health?
Lots of things, actually. I think one of the main things that we always like to highlight is if you look at the global statistics, cardiovascular diseases, these are diseases of the heart, the blood vessels, and the brain. They're the number one killers of women in the world. They kill 4 to 5 times more women than breast cancer, 2 times more women than all cancers combined. So that's, I think, the number one fact about women's heart health or cardiovascular health that is not very widely known. So that's something to know about. And you were mentioning Nadia's story, and she's going to tell us in a moment. But I think the other thing that seems to have caught your attention is the fact that even young women mm-hmm. can have heart attacks as well. Thankfully, it's not common. But if a young woman has a heart attack, there are some things that we have to think about, such as the condition that Nadia had. It's called spontaneous coronary artery dissection that we can discuss.
Is that so? There are also congenital problems. People are born with certain problems, but mm-hmm. what she went through, and we'll have her share her story in a moment, but mm-hmm. with pregnancy, so pregnancy can bring on situations. You could have something congenital bring on a situation, mm-hmm. and you can be of any age, mm-hmm. and you can still have a heart attack.
Yeah. So since you mentioned pregnancy, let's focus on that then. So we often say it has become a little bit of a cliche actually in cardiology, but we always say the pregnancy is a woman's first stress test, right? Your blood volume increases massively. Your heart needs to pump a lot harder because it's pumping for you and the baby. So it is really a stress test on the woman's body. In fact, I read a study, it's a physiologic study that was done last year showing that there are two conditions that really challenge the human's threshold in terms of energetic potential. One is training for like an ultra marathon. The other one is pregnancy.
I read that too.
Yeah. So it's really a woman's first stress test. So there are some conditions that can be precipitated by the pregnancy. So we will talk about spontaneous coronary artery dissection later when Nida tells a story. There's also something called peripartum cardiomyopathy, which is a fancy name for heart failure that is developed as a result of pregnancy and delivery. And importantly, something that is actually a lot more common than the two other ones I've mentioned is the fact that some conditions of pregnancy, such as having high blood pressure during pregnancy, that's called gestational hypertension, or preeclampsia, or having gestational diabetes, or premature birth. These conditions, for example, increase a woman's future risk for heart disease. And most women do not know that.
Can women go through those situations when we're talking about preeclampsia, when we're talking about congenital diabetes, gestational diabetes, I should say? Mm-hmm. Is it because of their current health state going into pregnancy that they haven't been eating properly mm-hmm. or they haven't been keeping fit or they're too stressed, or is it the pregnancy itself?
Actually, there's no correct there's no right answer for this because we see both. We see some people that the environment really brings on some of these conditions. They are often obese, they may smoke, they not taking care of their diet, etc. On the other hand, we also see women that look like the picture of health. They have a healthy weight, they eat well, they exercise, and they develop these conditions. When it comes to preeclampsia alone, and that affects 6 to 10% of all pregnancies. What I've learned to one of my colleagues at the University of Ottawa, Dr. Shannon Bainbridge, she's a placental biologist that I've worked with, and she has taught me that even within the preeclampsia world, there is not just one preeclampsia. When you actually study the placentas of these women, there are some women that have preeclampsia and have a completely normal placenta. And by the way, preeclampsia is thought to be a placental disease. So in those scenarios, if you have preeclampsia with a completely normal placenta, people have thought, well, it's really the environment, it's the woman, right? Maybe those tend to be more often obese and smokers and so forth. On the other hand, she had placentas that were very abnormal, like the classic findings you would study in your pathology books in school. And very often those were women that were otherwise healthy, but the placenta itself had disease. So all this to say that there's no one category we can fit people in, and all of these things seem to play a role.
We have with us the chair of the Heart Institute's Canadian Women's Heart Health Center. That is Dr. Thais Cochino. And we also have here two women who are going to share their stories. And the first one I thought I'd have shared is Nadia Lapa. And you've had a heart attack, but this was completely unexpected and nothing that could have been prevented. Share your story.
That's what they tell me. So it was a very typical day. Just to go back to that particular day, I had had my son, my third child, 7 weeks before. I took him into the office to show him off, like all new moms do. I dressed him up in his finest clothes. I took a shower. I looked good. I got there and I just had an overwhelming sense of anxiety, the need to flee, pressure in my chest, all the classic Hollywood symptoms of a heart attack. But I was very, very ignorant and I did not understand what was happening to me. And I think that's something that would probably resonate with a lot of your listeners today. The idea that something can happen to someone so young who eats grapefruit and kale regularly, who exercises, who has exercised all her life, who has three healthy children, who
great
just...
Great skin, too.
And to have these sensations, I thought, okay, well, maybe I'm allergic to something. Maybe I ate something. Maybe I have mastitis. Maybe. Thankfully, I was surrounded by people who saw the signs and decided to call for help, because if I had been home alone, it would have been a completely different story. So thankfully, the Heart Institute was there. They took me. They also knew what to look for, and that was huge in saving me, because when you're suffering from a condition like I did, which is a spontaneous coronary artery dissection, or a SCAD, we'll call it that for now, minutes matter. And so it's a very very big tear that happens in your heart. It causes a heart attack. It's not always that way, but for me it was. And thankfully, they were there to go in immediately and save me. I bypassed all the typical stages of hospital ERs and was rushed right away to the Heart Institute. And I'm so grateful that they exist and that they're trained to look for these things.
How did this affect your mental health afterwards?
Well, that is a very big piece of this puzzle, for me anyways. I think that when I was there, you know, they were bang on with all the doctors predicted, you know, okay, well, it'll take about a year and a half for you to feel better, for you to get to the point that you'll probably be at for the rest of your life. And for me, that was a ridiculous amount of time. Like, I was 37 years old. I had three really small children at home. I did not have a year and a half in my life to dedicate to getting better, right? So, but honestly, it took longer than that to feel better. And only when I did start to feel better physically did my mental health start to, like, or my brain actually start to catch up with everything and to start to process what had happened. And that was like phase two of the recovery. And I really, you know, you have to give credit to people who go through something like this and who have this trauma, the people who help them through it. So the psychologists, the doctors, everyone who's on your side and on your team to help you get through something like that. Because for a young person to experience that and to come out of it okay is a big deal.
You have to create a whole new normal. That is completely unexpected when you're in your 30s and you just had a baby and you've been healthy your whole life. And everything that I've witnessed firsthand about people who go through heart attacks or bypasses or surgeries or this, that, is the impact on your mental health. It is extraordinary what I've seen. I think that the biggest thing about anybody who's going through heart surgery or heart attacks is dealing with the mental health component afterwards. Mm-hmm. Dr. Coutinho, what do you see?
This is particularly relevant in the situation of a SCAD. SCAD, again, being short for spontaneous coronary artery dissection, which Nadia just described to us so eloquently. So, interestingly, 90% of patients with the SCAD condition are women. And for the majority of women that experience this condition, there's actually a mental health trigger that triggers this. For Nadia, it was giving birth to a baby, which is a known trigger for SCAD for some people. But for other people, without giving birth, the majority of women that have this condition have it because of some emotional trigger. And going forward, after you've had the SCAD, and that's why we see in the majority of our patients that have had this condition, mental health care is an integral component of their rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. Yes, we rehab their bodies, but we have to rehab their minds as well. Why is that? Can you imagine, like, one day you're totally normal, you have no risk factors, you're just going by your day, showing off your baby, you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, and then you have a heart attack. And for some women, they have an emotional trigger to this. Sometimes I have a number of stories I've collected over the years from patients. So sometimes it's an argument with a parent. Sometimes it's the death of a family member. Sometimes it's a PhD pressure coming up. So imagine having that kind of stress causing a heart attack. And then after the fact, having to deal with life and similar stresses that will come up. No,
I can't imagine, because you're stressing me out right now. Yeah, just talking. Sorry. No, but it's
so true. We have to take care of that. So we do actually give them a lot of psychological help at the Heart Institute and beyond, because without doing that, we
and
are not helping
the
patient
families
fully.
Needed to, because I remember when my dad was going through what he went through, it impacted the family a lot as well. We also have, as we're digging into women's heart health, a different type of story, a heart attack at 55 years old, Deborah St. Jean. So what happened with
well,
you?
Well, Delia, I don't want to stress you out anymore, but I did have a stress
just
component.
Just by saying that, you've already increased my levels of cortisol.
I had been working an incredible amount, like really long hours, and for about 4 months. So I was very stressed, very tired, and I ended up developing jaw pain. And I had no idea it was my heart. And I had it for 3 days. And finally, I went to the hospital on the night of the third day, and they diagnosed the heart attack right away. I didn't have too many risk factors. I was overweight. I had been a vibrant, healthy, active woman until the 4 months prior. So I was a runner previously and that kind of thing. So
I'm a runner. Thanks for again scaring me.
Sorry. But I had let things creep up on me. I was focusing on this business issue. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't eating well. And the stress combined, and I had some family stress at the same time. So it was just enough, I guess, to precipitate and put me and develop the heart attack. I had just cholesterol just on the high end of normal. I had no diabetes, didn't smoke. All of those other risk factors were okay. So I think, you know, and the bad thing about it is that I waited too long to go to get it checked out when I had this jaw pain. I thought it was TMJ. So I did suffer some heart.
If you're stressed out, that makes sense.
Right. And I was going on the internet and searching out stuff. So I think the thing is, you have to listen to your body. And I should have gone sooner, because I did lose some heart muscle at the bottom of my heart. It's dead tissue there now. It suffered from, because I was 3 days waiting. The good news is, though, is that my echocardiogram and PET scans reveal that my heart is performing in the normal range. So I'll take that. I'm very happy. I'm exercising very well now for 5 years since I've had my heart attack. Eating is always a challenge for me, because I am a stressed and emotional eater. So I do eat my feelings, and I have to keep that in check. But I do feel I did have to have a second stent actually put in 2018. Again, I was under a period of stress. But I did advocate. I knew enough to advocate for myself that time and not wait and have the proper test done. And the doctor didn't even expect there would be a blockage, but they found another blockage, a smaller one, but one that needed attention.
And so, your mental health after the fact?
Well, it's always something, a work in progress. I do mindfulness. Exercise is a big component for my mental health. Cognitive behavioral therapy. I focus on things that bring me joy, so that I can not let stuff. I mean, you can't get away from stress. Some of it is just there. It's not something you can control. So you have to just live in the moment, try to have a healthy relationship with food, and just focus on those things that make you happy, and try not to use the avoidance factor and ignore the, and be in denial about your issue. A coronary artery disease is a lifelong illness. You don't just get a stent and are fixed and get to go away and go back to normal, your eating habits or exercise habits. You have to focus on it every day. And that's really something that I'd had to learn the hard way. But I think that if I had been continued on, I wouldn't have had the heart attack that I did. And so I think that's the message I want to give out. Don't start before you get there.
And the final message to give out in our last 30 seconds, Dr. Thais Cochinho, I'll leave this to you. Signs and symptoms like the jaw that many people don't look for when a heart attack is coming on.
Yes. So the most important thing is 90% of men and women with heart attack will have chest pain of some sort. So it's always a predominant component. For the other 10% that can have other symptoms, it can be pain just in the jaw or sometimes in the upper back or going down the left arm, for example, or even just in the top of the stomach. Or some people may present with just extreme exhaustion and shortness of breath. That's the minority. The majority of patients will have chest pain. But very often women actually will have chest pain and then a whole bunch of these other things I've described. But all of these things, very often the patient, especially women, have a sixth sense for the symptom. They feel like there's something, it feels like just in the jaw, but they feel like it's out of the norm. And if you are concerned, you should always seek medical attention.
Seek medical attention. Would you also say to put an aspirin under your tongue? What would you say to do there?
So we use the aspirin, the 81 milligrams. So we actually tell people to chew 4 aspirins if they think they're having a heart attack. So if you're really that concerned, that would not be, unless you're allergic like I am, that would not be a concern if you want to do that. But you need to be, you know, quite concerned about your health. And if you are concerned, you call 911. The paramedics will be at your door in no time, and they will probably give you the aspirin too.
Thank you so much to Dr. Thais Cochinho for joining us today. She's the chair of the Heart Institute's Canadian Women's Heart Health Center. Also, thank you so much to Nadia Lapa for sharing your story and Deborah St. Jean. I hope that you guys just continue to be on this road of recovery because I know it's a new normal now. But thank you so much for sharing your story. You might have saved a life.